This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 27,000 registered runners will attempt America's oldest marathon on Monday. That means 54,000 expensive running shoes pounding the pavement all the way from Hopkinton to Copley Square.
Actually, make that 53,998 shoes, because pediatrician Bruce Callow of Newton is planning to run all 26.2 miles completely barefoot.
And why not? After all, people ran barefoot for tens of thousands of years. And barefoot running is now a rapidly growing trend. Proponents say that, done properly, it can minimize or even reverse many of the injuries associated with traditional running, like shin splints and knee pain.
That's why local barefoot running enthusiast Preston Curtis is organizing the first ever Boston Barefoot Running Festival this weekend in advance of the marathon. 2 days of how-to seminars, symposia with researchers, and a barefoot 5K race along the Charles River. Preston Curtis is here with us now. Welcome, Preston Curtis. Good to have you.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Also with us is Irene Davis. She's director of the Spalding National Running Center at Harvard Medical School. She's a barefoot running advocate, and she'll be speaking at the festival this weekend as well. Welcome to you, Irene Davis. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Irene, let me start with you. What is the basic, sort of the most fundamental benefit of running barefoot?
Well, there are actually more than one basic benefit of running barefoot. I think maybe the first thing that I could talk about is the fact that when you run barefoot, you do not land on your heels. And the reason that you don't land on your heels is because it hurts. And so if it hurts, it probably means that we weren't meant to do it. And so when you land on the ball of your foot, you actually reduce an impact force that you actually, your body experiences when you land on your heels.
So that impact is the force that creates things like shin splints and knee problems, perhaps, that kind of stuff?
Yes. So we've done a lot of research on the characteristics of that impact force and how it relates to injury. And we have found that it has been related to a number of injuries, such as plantar fasciitis, tibial stress fractures, anterior knee pain.
But don't running shoes provide all kinds of nice padding and all kinds of, protection against that heel shock?
Yeah, go ahead. So what happens is that when you land on your heels in a pair of running shoes, it doesn't hurt, but you still get that impact peak. And so the rest of your body experiences that impact peak. So it almost lulls you into striking harder when you have something on the cushion of on your heel that cushions it.
So, Preston, let me come to you. You're a runner. You've been running and racing barefoot since 1997, I understand. Tell us about your conversion from shod running to barefoot running.
To make a long story short, it was 15 years ago, and my knees were hurting me, and I couldn't run anymore, so I rollerbladed. And I was really getting tired of just rollerblading, and I wanted to run in races and be with friends and run with them. And my knees hurt so badly that I really had no other choice but to give myself 6 months off and then run on the beach and say that I would run barefoot, I would wait 6 months and run on the beach and see which one of those three could be possibly causing the problem. So to make a long story short, I ran after 3 months, 40 minutes on the beach barefoot. Then I said, okay, now let's see if I run on the road, I can say that 6 months I've been running barefoot, no more pain in my knees, I can actually run again, I can wake up, I can go up the stairs, I can get in my car without any pain. So I did the experiment on my own before Born to Run came out, before any of the big barefoot terms came out in studies. So at that point, I realized that I could run on the road and I could run barefoot. And after training on that for about 2 months, I was able to run in without any pain, and I basically born-again runner.
Born-again runner, so running without pain. Listeners, we're talking about the merits of barefoot running in advance of the first-ever Boston Barefoot Running Festival this weekend, organized by my guest, Preston Curtis. Have you tried running barefoot? Has it cured you of any running injuries that might be bothering you, or are you worried about injuring your feet? We're going to talk about that in a minute. We have one of the world's foremost barefoot running experts with us, Irene Davis. She's director of the Spalding National Running Center at Harvard Med School. We can take your questions at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Preston, one more question to you, then I want to go back to Irene, but did you, how long did it take to sort of make this conversion, I guess?
It really doesn't take long. Most of the time actually is in one's mind. It's a perception of how long it may take, just as a perception that one may think that they would step on something and they really don't. It has to be done very carefully and very gradually, but not to the point where you actually go back and can't enjoy yourself. So a conversion for most people would be probably about 3 months. There are some sacrifices to do this. You may want to have your feet breathe more and get more accustomed to being able to acclimate to the ground and not having something on your foot, which gives you, in many cases, it's creating somewhat of a false sense of security.
So I want to. I've been an on and off runner for many years. I've run barefoot on beaches, mm-hmm. which I find terrific exercise. And just for kicks, this morning I kicked off my shoes and ran up and down the sidewalk outside of WBUR. And in fact, there's a thrilling footage of this on radio on Radio Boston's Facebook. If listeners want to go there and look at it, but it raised this question for me: what about road hazards? What about rocks, glass, all that kind of thing?
Hear that all the time.
Yeah.
It really begs the question of, no matter what one does in this life, anything can be dangerous. You get in a car, it's dangerous. You get in an airplane, it's dangerous. You get in a boat, it's dangerous. You go hiking up the woods, it's dangerous because a bear could attack you. So if you really think about anything, one is actually in control of this if you look ahead. And to answer the question, quite honestly, it's mostly an unfounded fear, because we've been doing this for 15 years. There are people running races. No one ever gets hurt. The bottom line is, what hurts more? Ultimately, if your knees hurt and you can't run anymore, you're hurt and you can't run.
Hmm.
So that's basically an unfounded fear. In 15 years of running quite a bit, I've had three tiny, tiny shards of glass, and you can still run. And then one thorn, and you take it out, and it heals in a day or two, and your body heals.
You survive. You're good to go within a couple more days
mm-hmm.
there.
And you can run.
Irene, let me ask you this. The idea of running shoes sort of encouraging us to do that potentially destructive heel strike that causes problems, does that suggest that running shoes are, in fact, hazardous? I mean, do we go that far?
I think that what's happened is that the development of the running shoe has... it's like the running shoe has gone on to steroids. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the running shoes back in the 60s and 70s, Ambry Burfitt interviewed Ron Hill, who was the winner of the 1970 Boston Marathon. And basically, Ron showed his shoes, and they look very much like the minimal footwear of today. So I think what's happened is, I think shoes were designed to protect the bottom surface of our foot. And that's it. If you go back to the very earliest of shoes, they were just basically a flat bed with some straps on it. But for some reason, we sort of have evolved. These shoes have evolved. So now that they cushion our feet, they support our arch, they support our heel. And in fact, what they're doing is they're effectively taking away the function of the foot. The foot is an amazing structure with 26 bones, 33 articulations, 111 ligaments, and it's supposed to be able to flex, be stiff at times, be flexible at times. And when you put it, encase it in this, you know, people call them coffins. Yeah, I call them assistive devices. You're really taking away the beautiful structure and function of this amazing foot.
Let me try and push back in this way. I mean, I'm really intrigued by this question, because one of the arguments that I hear is that barefoot running is what humans have done for tens of thousands of years, and it's sort of the natural form. But we used to do a lot of things that we don't do anymore. I mean, we once used our jaws and teeth to rip open mollusks on the beach. We don't do that anymore. So I guess my question is, have we evolved or devolved away from running barefoot?
I don't think so. I think it takes a lot longer to do that. Mm-hmm. I think what's happened is that there's this new sort of paradigm shift towards trying to get to use our bodies in the way that they were designed to.
Mm-hmm.
The American College of Sports Medicine is really encouraging people to exercise at least 150 minutes per week. And that's because we are living lives now that our bodies are not designed for, and it may actually contribute to a lot of the problems that we're having. So by introducing exercise, even though we're not doing that, we sit at our desks all day, we drive to work, right? We eat things out of boxes. And I believe that maybe we have disevolved in a sense, and there are evolutionary biologists that would also support that and say we're actually disevolving. So by trying to exercise more because we're not out being active. By taking away, I think the barefoot running movement is really just part of this whole movement to try to get our bodies to be used in the way they were meant to be used.
Listeners, we're talking about the merits of barefoot running in advance of the first ever Boston Barefoot Running Festival this weekend, organized by one of my guests, Preston Curtis. I'm also joined by Irene Davis. She's a director of the Spalding National Running Center at Harvard Med School. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Ken, who's calling from Holliston. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, I this is great because about 30 years ago, when I was much younger and traveling around the country, I was living out in Ashland, Oregon, and I did a lot of hiking and started running through the woods. And I found that I had, you know, much more control using the balls of my feet rather than trying to land on my heels. And despite what everybody told me about running, you should not do that. You should land on your heels, otherwise you'll hurt your legs. I found I was much more comfortable and eventually began running barefoot, and it was great.
So that's, you started that 30 years ago, and you're still running barefoot today.
Well, I got to say I do it less now, but if I were running as much, I would be running barefoot just as much.
All right, Ken. Well, thanks so much for that call. Preston, I have a question about performance. I mean, we're going to have, you know, tens of thousands of runners on Monday. Obviously, most of them will be wearing running shoes. But can you make a case that can you run as fast? Can you run as aggressively, as efficiently barefoot as you can shod?
Excellent question. You've done your research.
I have a good producer.
Yes. The answer to that question is that because there's such a small percentage of barefoot runners, they really can't represent. But what's happening now, and I've noticed in the past year, is that we are getting faster barefoot runners. We're getting someone who can do a 5:15 mile with us, and we have people that are running 12-minute miles with us. So it's an array of talent. At this race on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, we are going to have some really, really good runners, and we're going to have some really, really average or less than average runners. And I think that in itself explains. We have one barefoot runner that no matter what race he goes to, he comes in the top five. Period.
I remember, too, a name, Zola Budd, comes to mind. She was a South African Olympian who used to run barefoot, as mm-hmm. I recall. And I know there have been a couple of mm-hmm. others along the way mm-hmm. as well, right?
Yeah, so it's really a numbers game. I mean, the percentage of barefoot runners is so small that it can't really represent. But last year it was starting to represent, and this year I think it's going to be even better.
Let's take another call. Nancy is calling from Carlisle. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is what you do about the cold, not just your feet, but everything that's covered normally by socks, your shins, your ankles. I run 365 days a year, and I don't run in bare skin a lot of the time, so I'm curious how barefoot runners deal with that.
Great question. Irene, do you have any suggestions for that?
Sure. I mean, that's where the minimal footwear comes into play. So all people who run barefoot advocate that we protect our feet. So it's important when it's cold and you don't have the normal sensory input that you have because your feet can become numb to protect your feet. Or if you're out in the trails and you don't know what's underneath the rocks, and maybe if you're running on grass. I mean, grass is actually, people think that's a very safe environment. It's actually probably one of the less safe environments just because you can't see. So it's important to protect your feet with minimal footwear.
So minimum footwear, for example, these are shoes like, they're made by Vibram, which is an Italian company that has, they make it right out in Concord, right? These
yes.
things that look like gloves for your feet.
Yes, that's just one version. There are many, many versions of minimal footwear.
But let me ask you about that, because it's my understanding they're being sued in Massachusetts federal court for making allegedly false claims about what their shoes can do for you, like strengthening muscles in the feet and lower legs, improving posture and that kind of stuff. In your opinion, does the plaintiff have a case here?
So I think that I don't know that there's any evidence that wearing the Vibrams per se are mm-hmm. going to increase the strength, but there have been studies that have shown that people wearing minimal footwear, one of them was a Nike Free, they showed an increase in the cross-sectional area of the muscles of the foot, which is actually an indication of foot strengthening. And there's another study that was done in 1987 by Robbins that showed that going barefoot caused an increase in strength of the foot muscles. So I think there is other evidence that suggests that when you take away support from the foot gets stronger. And a strong foot's a healthy foot.
Well, that would make sense. What's your best advice? I'll come back to you, Preston, but maybe a quick word. We have about a minute left. A quick word from both of you on this. The best way to start building up muscles, calluses, whatever it takes to make this conversion to run barefoot. Let me start with you, Preston.
I think it's really simple. I think people think too much about it and they have concerns about it. But the bottom line is to start off really slow and be barefoot more. Be in your house barefoot more. Walk around your neighborhood barefoot. Walk your dog barefoot. Hike barefoot. Do this in slow increments, and it's not going to take a long time for this to adjust. Your foot sweats a pint of water a day and has something like 7,000 nerve endings, but you feel 70. Maybe that's not correct, but I do know that you feel 70% of your body through your feet. So everything seems very sensitive at first, but it gets used to it. And the more that you do things, your mind gets used to it. And you just do things slowly. You don't just go out and run. You walk barefoot first, and you maybe get used to it, and then you get used to the gait in your feet.
Gradual conversion. Irene Davis, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So when we bring people into the Spalding National Running Center Clinic and they want to transition maybe away from their orthotics and into minimal footwear or barefoot running, we also try to prepare the foot. So we actually have them do exercises that help strengthen the arch musculature, doming the foot. We do heel raises and heel lowers so that the foot is prepared.
All right. That's Irene Davis. She's director of the Spalding National Running Center at Harvard Medical School. We also heard from Preston Curtis, organizer of the first Boston Barefoot Running Festival, which takes place this weekend. Thank you both for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Albert, Dan Mawsey, and Amory Sievertson. Our interns are Annie Ropeek and Mira Sharma.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.